49th verse of the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I, if it be already kindled? The Lord Jesus Christ here is emphasizing the fact that when the truth of the gospel is preached, not only is that truth characterized by fire, but it will raise against it the fire of opposition and the fires of controversy. In this crazy age in which we live, there is a prominent teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ is not a divider. That the teaching of Christ is something that unifies all religions and all religious establishments. But a study of the Scripture reveals to us that Jesus Christ is the great divider. If you look further down this chapter, he says, suppose ye in verse 51 that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. And in the Gospels, over and over again, we read there was division because of him. And where Jesus Christ is preached, there will not only be controversy and the fires of opposition a-burning, but there will be intense division because of the teaching and the doctrines of Christ, which are entirely repugnant to the teachings and the doctrines of the carnal mind. We are told that the carnal mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is a fire. It's a fervent, blazing flame. It's not a lifeless creed entombed in the tomb of some religious establishment. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not concern itself with dead and formal ceremony. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not some elaborate ritual. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a blazing fire that burns its way to victory and burns up the opposition that is raised against it. I want to take this symbol of fire this morning, and I want to talk to you first of all about the religion of Jesus Christ afire, as illustrated by history. Secondly, I want to talk about the religion of Jesus Christ afire, demonstrated by its characteristics. And lastly, I want to speak of the religion of Jesus Christ afire, experienced in the human heart. First of all, let's look into the pages of history. The religion of Jesus Christ in its historical setting is, of course, the history of this book. And this book brings a unique message to mankind. A message that stirs the flame of fire. Fire that is passionate and full in the hearts of those that receive the message. But it also stirs in the heart a blaze of opposition. The heart that rejects the plain teaching of the Scripture. Let me illustrate that. This Bible presents the unique and final priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one who can pardon the sinner. The only one who has offered a full and perfect and never to be repeated sacrifice for sin. And when I come to Christ, I receive absolution that's full and eternal from His lips alone. I receive pardon from His blood alone. I receive peace from His promise alone. And I discover that my personal salvation is centered in Christ, the only great, all-sufficient, pardoning high priest. Now you preach that message and you'll be in trouble. Every bishop of the Roman Catholic system, every archbishop of the Roman Catholic system, every pope of the Roman Catholic system, every priest who holds orders in the Roman Catholic system will rebel against the fact that the gospel makes every one of them redundant and declares that they are eternally unemployed. You preach the one full priesthood of Christ and you'll be in trouble. And not only have we Romanist priests, but we have the apest priest of the Protestant ecumenical movement. And they are just as fierce in their opposition to the preaching of the one priesthood of Jesus Christ than anyone else. And so while one section of the community receives the blessing of the priesthood of Christ, another section of the community will set itself up in bitter hatred against such a message, such a doctrine and such a declaration. And this has been well illustrated in the pages of history. And we know that the great Protestant Reformation had its real focal point in this very doctrine. Shall man go to heaven, aided and directed by the priests? Can man buy their pardons, their sin dockets, as Luther put it, at the hands of the priest? Or is salvation by grace alone through faith, not of works of righteousness that we have done, but of His mercy that He has saved us? And there is no point of meeting between these two doctrines. We live in a day when men talk about the gospel of reconciliation as if the gospel of Christ was to reconcile Beelzebub to Jesus Christ and the dogmas of hell with the doctrine of heaven. Don't you believe it? The gospel of reconciliation is not a gospel reconciling in the first place man with his fellows, but it is a gospel that reconciles sinful man to God. And when sinful man are all reconciled to God through Christ, then there will be the universal reconciliation which can only come when the Prince of Peace Himself comes, whose right it is to reign. So you see that when we turn into the pages of history, we find this doctrine of fire amply illustrated. Of course, the history of Jesus Christ's religion is a history of preaching, and the preacher comes with a message of fire burning in his heart. Of course, the modern ecumenical movement has done away with the pulpit. It has pushed the pulpit to the side of the church. It's only a sideline. It's not the front line of the gospel's message. And we live in a day when preachers are weak, when the preaching from the pulpit is weak. We live in a days of glorified essay readers. When a man comes to the pulpit with his manuscript, and when he slavishly reads off sentence by sentence and paragraph by paragraph. I'm reminded of an old Presbyterian elder who was forced to listen to one of these essay readers, and he was talking to me some time ago, and he said at the end of the service, I walked up to the pulpit, Mr. Paisley, and I said to the minister, I said, sir, you should do something with your essay. And the preacher said, what should I do? He said, you should cut it in two and put one half in the fire, and it wouldn't matter what you did with the other half. I want to say this morning that the gospel of Jesus Christ depends upon the power of the preacher. And the trouble with this age of ours is this, that the preachers are few and far between, and the pulpit has lost its dynamite and its fire. There was a day in England, a day when England was great and was a first great power, when the nonconformist pulpit swayed the land both in morals and in politics. But the day the pulpit has become weak, it has lost its thus saith the Lord. The note of authority is gone, and uncertainties are trumpeted from the pulpit. And if that trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? Of course, the preachers in history had a very rough time. And a man that preaches the truth of God today can expect similar treatment. Of course, the law forbids that the preacher should be put in the middle of the bonfire and burned to death. But the same spirit of persecution that put the preachers of the Reformation in the fire, that same spirit still burns in the hearts of those that hate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's only the restraining of the law that keeps them from bold and bitter persecution of God's people. Of course, it's a good thing when the devil howls, for it is proof positive that the power of God is at work. I am reminded of the great victories of the Reformation. I am reminded of Patrick Hamilton, who was burned by the bloody cardinal beaten at St. Andrew in Scotland. And it was said that everyone upon whom the reek of Hamilton burned became a son of the Reformation. And persecution of the church has always led to the enlargement and the extension of the church. And I believe that the church that enters through the fires of persecution will be a church that's owned and honored of the Lord. It was the burning of Latimer and Ridley that struck a light that, please God, shall never be put out. And amidst all the fires of opposition, there shall burn the unquenchable fire of God's truth and the liberty of the gospel. And so it is illustrated in history that the religion of Jesus Christ is a fire. Could I say it's demonstrated in its own characteristics? The fire of the gospel is characterized by purity. Where the gospel is preached, there will be a purifying effect on the lives of all who hearken and heed its message. Just as the flame purifies the substance that is in the crucible, so the society that is permeated by the flame of the gospel of Christ will know its purifying effect. There is nothing that can purify society but the fire of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never let us think that man will be moral because of legislation. Never let us think that the passing of laws will change the face of society. Let us always remember that the only thing that can change a sinful age is a mighty demonstration of the gospel fire. A fire that burns itself to victory into the hearts and minds and consciences of those that hear it. Of course, the fire brings comfort and warmth to the heart. And there is nothing more comforting like the fire of the Spirit of God. That's just my son making a protest. He's been brought up in protest. And of course, he thinks that he should make a protest when his father's preaching. I told him the other Sunday morning, I said, someday I'll leave the pulpit and I'll have a protest with you right in the pew. The warmth of the gospel. And in this day of coldness, in this day when a bitter, chilling breeze is blowing, thank God for the fire of the gospel. Thank God for the warmth that can come to the human soul when the soul is warmed by the fire of Calvary's love and the warmth of the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Maybe in this service this morning, there has come some lonely worshiper, and you have a burden that no one understands or knows about. You have a heartache that no one understands or has knowledge of. Some disappointment in life. Some hard part of life's journey that you're now traversing. Some dark shadow over your home, over a loved one. And that dark shadow is reflected upon your mind and upon your conscience. Let me tell you that standing somewhere in life's shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in life's shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Could I tell you this morning, my friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ can warm the cold heart? The Lord Jesus Christ can bring comfort in the fire of the gospel to the heart that is broken, and the heart that's distressed, and the heart that is dismayed. Because this is one of the characteristics of the gospel. Then something more. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a fire in its aggressiveness. The gospel is an aggressive. 120 men and women in the upper room, ignorant and unlearned, but the fire of the Holy Ghost came upon them. And soon that little band was 3,000. And soon it was 5,000. And soon it spread its message, not only in Palestine, but into Asia Minor, across Europe. And soon the whole world was encircled by the power of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is aggressive. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is denoted by its aggressiveness. I want to say something now, that the message of Jesus Christ is an intolerant message. It brooks no other religion. It honors no other Messiah. It offers no other way to heaven. Jesus Christ stands alone. He says, I am the way. You can't find God through Buddhism. You can't find God through Mohammedanism. You can't find God through any of the great contemporary religions. You can't find God in any other way but the Bible way. Let's be very straight about this. Let's get away from this philosophy that's cursing the Lamb, that every religion of a man is sincere will bring him to God. What utter folly! And let me tell you that sincerity is not truth and never can be truth. And the poor, benighted, priest-ridden Romanist, no one doubts his sincerity. I've stood down there at Smithfield and watched them go to Our Lady's Grotto, as they call it, and take their little ones and make them kiss the stone and rub their hands on the stone supposed to be that the virgins tread upon it. They're absolutely sincere. No one doubts their sincerity. But friend, it's a delusion. Jesus Christ is the intolerant Christ. There is no other way to heaven. No man can be saved but by the Bible way, which is God's way, the revelation of God. Men are not saved by affiliation to this church or any other church. Men are not saved by the baptism of this church or any other church. Men are not saved by membership in this church or any other church. Men are saved by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And I'd like to enter into every pulpit in this city and declare this message. I'd like to stand where the crowds assemble and throng and tell them that salvation is not in ceremonies, not in ritual, not in acts of worship, that salvation is in Christ and in Christ alone. And it is the preaching of Christ that has built this church and will keep it in its building. And when the Free Presbyterian Church becomes a dead, formal, ecclesiastical establishment like the other denominations of our land, then its message is finished and its future is finished. But when this church holds up Jesus Christ as the only Savior, when it presents to man Christ and Christ alone, when it exalts Christ and puts away the forms and the ceremonies that would blot out my Savior, then this church will be doing the message that God called it to do. Of course, when you preach Christ and Christ alone, you cut at the very structure of the clerical caste. You cut at the very structure of the old denominational establishment, because they like to think that they are important. They like to think that they are essential. No parson is essential. No preacher is essential. No priest is essential. It is Christ and Christ alone that is essential. He's the intolerant Christ. And the message of the gospel is an aggressive message. What is more, the message of the gospel is a fire because it's filled with energy. There is nothing so charged with dynamite like the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached the way it ought to be preached, I want to tell you, you'll have a stirring all right. You needn't worry about it. I used to wonder as a young preacher, would I ever see a stirring in my church? I hadn't long to wait for. Oh, I have been through the mill as a preacher. I have seen the congregation angered. I have seen them leave their seats and go. I remember once in our church down the road saying there's five windows along the road, the wall, and if you don't want to take the two exit doors, you can climb through the windows and we'll sing the doxology while we're going. And your seat will be useful for some sinner that needs to hear the gospel tonight. I want to tell you, you'll have a stirring where the gospel is preached. Never fear about that. When the gospel of is preached, it's like a fire. It burns its way to victory. I'm glad the religion of Jesus Christ is not the sleepy caricature of religion that we have today in our churches. I'm glad the gospel of Jesus Christ is a full-blooded flame, if we might use the term, that brings man out of the darkness of their evil habits into the glorious light of the gospel. Finally, let me say the gospel of Jesus Christ is a fire experienced in the heart. And when a man has the gospel in his heart, he's fearless of opposition. Nothing can stop the man who has this gospel enshrined within his breast. They said to Martin Luther, the Pope's against you. The archbishops are against you. The bishops are against you. The canons, the monks, the friars, the nuns, they're all against you. And the emperor is against you. And the kings are against you. Martin Luther, the world's against you. And the little monk who shook the world said, well, I'm against the world. And he won the battle. And the Pope is still reeling under the blows that Luther struck. And Romanism has never recovered from the exposure of the little monk from the Augustinian monastery who preached justification by faith alone. The man that has the fire of the gospel burning, he'll be fearless of opposition. And this church has struggled on through good report and ill report. And this church will struggle on in spite of all the opposition that can be arrayed against it. We are fearless of opposition because the fire of the gospel burns in this house. Secondly, let me tell you that the person who's filled with the fire of the gospel will not be carrying on a lifeless, dull religious devotion with its chants and its anthems and its choirs and its organs, with its gowns and its bands and its trimmings and its religious luxury. But the man who's got God's fire in his breast and God's fire in his heart will be gladly giving himself to the great task of winning souls to Jesus Christ. His service will be unwearied. His zeal will be undiminished. And all his combined talents will be put to one great objective, that others might find the Savior and prove the power of the cleansing blood within their heart. And as a result of the fire burning in the breast, the prayers will be burning on the altar, and the prayer meeting will be packed with men who know how to pray and seek the Lord with all their heart. A prayerless church is a lifeless church. A prayerless Christian is a lifeless Christian. But when the fire is burning, then the prayer lamps will be trimmed and burning brightly too. May the Lord help us to have the fire burning in our hearts for His name's sake. Amen.